And this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It is so good to be here in the house of the Lord. It was a pretty day out there. We are indeed a blessed people. We have a lot of things going on. You'll hear several announcements here in just a little bit. The clipboard will come around. Please take time to read over and sign up. We are the church, and Christ is the head of this body, and Christ has called us to get involved. So look for those areas where you can get involved. Some areas you'll have gifts in. Some areas you won't have gifts in, but you know you can do the job. So please don't be shy, but sign up, because we can get more done together than we can apart. And it's all about being fruitful for God. So lots of opportunities. And not only in what's coming around on the clipboard, but out in the narthex. Take time to look around. We have the giveaway coming up in December. And so we need lots of donations of household stuff, and especially toys and decorations at this time of the year. A lot of stuff going on. Busy, busy. And that's the way we like it. It is really good. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and it is good to be gathered together here with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is good to be gathered here on sacred and holy ground to worship you, to praise you, to repent of our sin, and to become more like Jesus. So come, Holy Spirit, into this place, into our hearts, and we pray that what we do here is pleasing to you, and then life-changing to all of us. And then no matter where we go, let it be life-changing to those we come in touch with. So have us, use us, do with us what you want, Lord Jesus. Your will be done and your name be glorified. Fill us with love for one another, and especially with love for you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen. And the peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass that peace to our neighbors.
Good morning, church. As you make your way back to your seats, don't forget to take a peek at our gorgeous stained glass windows. The sun is shining, and this is the most beautiful time to take a look at them. Again, I do offer a warm welcome to all present, and especially our visitors. I do know that we have Jack and Pam sitting in the middle in front of the officials. Wave your hand so that we can greet you properly. Welcome to our church. Do we have any other visitors? If you would like some information, see me, the pastor, Diane, our organist. Any of the ushers can give you information. We have a packet if you're so inclined. A reminder this morning, please sign the registration page that can be found in the red plastic folders at the end of the pew. Please sign that and pass it to others, bringing it back to the center aisle. Also, in that red folder, you'll find 3x5 index cards. If you have a prayer request this morning, you can complete that card and put it in the clear holder at the end of the pew, and the ushers will bring it forward to Pastor Bruce. Our memory verse for November, we're on the second Sunday of November. That can be found on the top middle, first page of your bulletin, the top middle. Please recite it twice through with me. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have many announcements this morning as we enter our holiday season, and Diane is going to kick off our announcements this morning.
We have a new page on the clipboard to pass around today, and this is for ringing the bell for Salvation Army in front of Giant Eagle. This is on a Thursday, December 14th, and we are covering 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. Now, they have asked us to have two-hour stints, but we figured that's a long time if it's really, really cold. So we've put it down for one-hour stints, and there's a place for two names at each hour so that if you need to spell each other, you can, and besides, it's more fun to have other people there. So if you would, that's the top sheet. If you would think about that and sign up for an hour or two, that would be great. The second sheet is for Hanging of the Greens on the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. If you cannot sign the sheet and you can still come help, come anyway. This just gives me an idea how many pizza coupons to look for. Okay? And the third sheet is for lighting the Advent wreath. We still need a 1045 family for December 17th. And also, we're having refreshments, coffee hours after each of the Advent services. So if you would sign for those. And if you signed last week, could you put your phone number on? There's a spot for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. She's going to pass that clipboard. And now Mike from the United Methodist Men has an announcement.
I just want to remind all the men that we will be meeting Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock for a work day. We're going to be putting up the manger scene outside, plus we have a couple projects inside that need done. So we need lots of help on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. And then Wednesday at 6 o'clock in the evening, the men will be meeting at Cafe Supreme on Main Street. It's our annual Christmas fellowship election of officers. If you are planning to attend that, could you kind of let me know so I can give them a tentative count? And we will be looking for a $4 donation for your meal. So you can come out and have a meal, fellowship, and it only costs you $4. Any questions, ask me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Mike, again, is with our Methodist men, and all men of all ages are welcome for that fellowship. Just a few quick announcements. The Outreach Committee is currently sponsoring, once again, the Thanksgiving baskets. Those are the baskets that we fill with food items, and we provide them for needy families in our community. And is chairing that. So if you have any specific questions, there is a poster in the narthex that has the little sticky notes. You can pull one or two or three off, and they tell you what food items are needed, and that will be due back on next Sunday, November 19th. Also next Sunday, come hungry to church. It's Soup Sunday. The Outreach sponsors their annual or biannual, I guess it is, soup luncheon, soup sandwich, dessert, and drinks after second service. Also, Donna has asked me to thank those who have donated to the United Methodist Women's Operation Christmas Child, also known as the Shoebox Ministry. Those items were due today, so if you did forget them, perhaps you can give Donna a quick call and get those to her early this week. And Lisa has asked for us to read an announcement beginning today. She is taking names and answering any questions for those interested, those children interested in being in our Christmas Eve 5:30 service. We have three services on Christmas Eve, 5:30, 7, and 11. 7:30 and 11, and the 5:30 has been dedicated to the children for many, many years now. And there, Lisa indicates, there's lots of parts. There's some reading parts. There's some singing parts. So everyone is welcome, children of all ages. Lisa will be on the mezzanine level. For those of you that have Sunday school age children, the mezzanine level is just one level down. Lisa will be down there right outside our Sunday school rooms. And I would ask now that you don't forget to take a look at the other announcements and meetings and other activities that we have planned for the life of our church going on this week. And I now ask that you turn your hearts and minds to our worship. Thank you. Thank you, Diane, for that mesmerizing music. I would now ask that you rise and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response from my prompt. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The hour is coming, and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such the Father seeks to worship him. Please remain standing for hymn number 717 in your red hymnal, Battle Hymn of the Republic.
We want to recognize our veterans. I am pleased that our country seems to be doing a better job of that. There's always room for improvement, of course, but you'll see that reading in the paper, I've seen so many churches and high schools and organizations in the community and restaurants are offering their thanks to our veterans, as well we should. And so we want to recognize our veterans here today, too, as well, and to give you thanks for all that you've done for us, because without all that commitment and sacrifice, we couldn't do what we're doing here today. So we indeed are blessed. Diane is going to play a medley, and as she plays your service song, please, if you are a veteran from that branch of the service, please stand. Yes, and at the end, we'll have all the veterans stand while we pray for them, okay? We're going to start with the Air Force. See anybody from the Air Force? We had a dozen veterans in the first service this morning. Army. We've got four. Oh, four, five, six, seven. Seven. Well, they can, I was doing that for them up in the balcony. Fills underneath the. Coast Guard. We had one this morning from the Coast Guard. Bonnie's brother is retired from the Coast Guard, retired as a captain. Navy. This morning, I called him a jarhead. He said, "Oh, be careful there." Out of respect, though, weather neck. Army was the big winner this morning as well. Now, will all of our veterans please stand up? Once again, let us thank them. Remain standing as I say this prayer for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our veterans. We thank you for this country that we live in as a result of their faithfulness and commitment, the sacrifices they've made. God bless them, for they've set an example for the rest of this country to follow. They've set an example, especially for our young people. And God, we pray that you would bless our country, bring to it a healing, pour out your blessings upon this country, and bless our veterans and their families. For all of this we pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, with those who are joining the church today, would you please come forward? And everybody else, turn in your hymnals to page 33. There. See, we're not cutting the umbilical cord. We're putting one on today. They're your family, your brothers and sisters in Christ. They get better looking the better longer you know them. It's okay. It's all right. 33. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. And through confirmation, through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And Marcia and Jeffrey are here today to become members of this family of Irwin First United Methodist Church. Marcy and Jeff, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, answer, I will. Top of page 35, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Page 37. Marcy and Jeff, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Amen.
38. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries?
I will.
And as members of this congregation of Irwin First United Methodist, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your being here, your gifts, and your service?
I will.
Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
Thank you.
Marcy and Jeff, the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. You know, I really appreciate our children. Appreciate our children and you adults who, if, when you're sick, I'll go to hug or shake or give them a fist bump like just now, and they'll say, you'll go, sick, sick. I appreciate that, really. I mean, what I had here a few weeks ago, I gladly and willingly passed on to Bonnie, you know, share, share. I'm glad you don't share with me. Thank you. That's good. Hey, who loves us? Jesus loves us bunches and bunches. And I got to tell you, we got a special treat for you today. We have a CLM, Patricia Bushick, Blossett. Patty Blossett is a CLM. How many of you know what a CLM is? Certified lay minister. Certified lay minister. Basically, she could do anything that I can do except for serve the elements. And that position was created in the United Methodist Church to provide assistance to the pastor. Certified lay ministers can become choir directors, Christian education directors. Patty goes wherever the Lord leads her. She goes around and speaks at many different churches, fills in for the pastor, brings the message, does children's chats, and whatever else God leads her to do. And so she's here today to do our children's chat. She does some rhyming, so listen real close to the story she's about to tell you about today's lesson, okay?
There's room up here for some big kids, too. And I promise it's worth it to sit up here with me today.
And just so you know, she's making me look bad. I hand out mints. She hands out bags of combos.
Hi. What book do I bring with me every week? What is it? The Bible, that's right. The Bible is God's word, and in it are events that you need to be prepared for. What else did I bring with me today? Anybody know what this is? Good.
I think it might be a lighter for a
candle. A lighter for a candle? Anyone else? That was a good guess. This is an oil can. Do you know what oil cans, what's inside oil cans?
Oil.
That's right. In Jesus' day, the people burned olive oil because it was readily available and inexpensive. The olive oil was used to fill lamps or torches that they used during wedding ceremonies. These were long sticks that had rags wrapped around the top, which were soaked with the olive oil. These torches resist a breeze and give great light. They only last, though, about 15 minutes, and then the rags have to be soaked again. But what happens if your oil can is empty? What happens?
No light.
No more light, that's right. And that reminds me of a story from the Bible. Does that remind you of a story from the Bible, a lamp that won't light? Does that remind any of you of a story from the Bible? I see some head shakers out there. Well, it goes something a little like this. The first time the world wasn't ready, although the prophets clearly marked out the signs, so his disciples still needed more clarification. about his future return of the kingdom, he outlines. It will be a grand and glorious celebration. Just be ready for when the festivities are to begin. No one knows the exact moment or the hour, although the time left on the clock continues to spin. This will be all of a sudden and unexpected, like a thief in the middle of the night, bringing reward for those who are faithful, and the unprepared will be banished out of sight. So Jesus compares his comeback to a typical wedding in a Palestinian village or Israelite town, where everyone is excited when the families get together to wait expectantly for this anticipated countdown. There has already been a proper engagement with a contract between both fathers of the daughter and the son. This binding agreement was the official ceremony, but the honeymoon will be delayed until renovations can be done. Now the new bride waits with nervous energy for the groom that went away to prepare a living space. Perhaps he'll buy land or build a cozy addition attached to his father's established place. So she has been watching for the bridegroom with her 10 bridesmaids dressed in their wedding clothes. Outwardly, they were uniformly identical, but inwardly, the difference was about 8 inches from their nose. 5 of them were considered to be foolish. The other half are distinguished as very wise. Since their lanterns were to be filled with oil, but some were empty because they never brought supplies. But then there was a shout heard at midnight. Everyone in the house was fast asleep. It was the bridegroom, and he was approaching. So quickly out of their beds, they did leap. All 10 trimmed their lamps and tried to light them. But some just smoldered and did not last. So the dim wicks asked for some fuel to burn from the 5 that had remained steadfast. But there wouldn't be enough for sharing, so 5 went to dealers hoping they would sell. But it was late, and while they left to make a purchase, the open door to the wedding feast slammed as well. Lord, Lord, let us into the party. But he answered them, I know you not. You are misled. There are no second chances. For salvation can neither be borrowed nor be bought. Amen. Pray with me. Repeat after me. Dear God, help me. Keep a fire lit.
Keep a fire lit.
While I burn,
while I burn
the midnight oil,
the midnight oil
for you.
For you.
Amen. Thanks for coming up today, kids. And as Pastor Bruce said, I have combos for everybody.
Keep
Thank you, Diane and choir, for that toe-tapping anthem this morning. The Word of God will be taken from the New Testament. This will be the first letter that Paul writes to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Hear Paul's words. "But as to the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people say, 'There is peace and security,' then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail comes upon a woman with child, and there will be no escape. But you are not in darkness, brethren, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you all are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who get sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we wake or sleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." This ends the reading of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. At this time, I ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for this. This is not a time when we dig deep to pay bills. It's not a time when we pay some kind of money that we owe you. But this is a time, God, for which we thank you. A time when we can say to you how much we love you. This is a time when we can say to you that all that we have and all that we are belongs to you, that nothing we have is as important as you are. This is a time to show the world that we are your creatures called by your name and that you own us. We belong to you. And this is a time that we give to you our lives as living sacrifices. And so we ask, God, that you would bless and multiply these offerings. Use them as you see fit through the ministries of this church. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. Joys and concerns. We have any particular joys out there we want to share today? Pardon? Warm houses and cars and yes, clothes, warm clothes.
Warm coffee.
Warm coffee. What is it? Slippers. Yes. Indoor plumbing, yes, thank you. Yes.
This is going to sound silly, but tomorrow marks the 1-year anniversary of us adopting our heated dog, Henry.
Okay.
We last year with him, so I think we're good.
Tomorrow, 1-year anniversary of adopting Henry, their black lab. Flat-coated, I never heard of that one, but yeah, flat-coated retriever. I follow your antics, his antics, on Facebook, yes. Other joys. Having family here, yes, amen. So for all of our, and we indeed are a blessed people, I mean, we are joyful and thankful, it goes without saying, for the roof over our heads, the clothes that we wear, the food that we eat, cars that we drive, for friends, family, our health such that it is, for this country in which we live, for our veterans. So for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Okay, pens and pencils. My homework, your homework. Scratch it down on anything. We want to remember Gerald Holderbaum family. I'm doing that funeral tomorrow for Gerald Holderbaum family. Also, we want to remember the family, Davy and Jacob, and Gary. We want to remember, Joel's mother, Pearl, died. Joel's mother, Pearl. And her viewing will be at Ott's Funeral Home Wednesday, November 15th, from 2 to 4 and 6 to 8. The funeral will be on Thursday. We want to remember our missionaries. We also want to remember Jeff and his family. We want to pray for the Jean Launce family. Jean, her funeral's today down in Greene County. Jean was my choir director for almost 12 years while I was down there. Okay, let's pray for Bobby. Okay, pray for persecuted Christians. Pray for Matt and family. David, our David goes into the hospital this Wednesday for stem cell transplant. He'll be in there for at least 2 weeks, if not longer. And he'll have to have all of his bone marrow radiated out, chemo. You know, some folks understand that. So they take out all his bone marrow and then they inject his stem cells, healthy stem cells, because David has been battling some blood cancer. So he's got a rough couple months ahead of him. So please keep David in your prayers. Pray for Virginia. Doris, as they too battle cancer. Pray for Sandy and Bonnie, who are battling the crud along with a whole lot of other folks. A lot of coughing and sniffling and that going on. It is going around. Lots of fluids, menthol eucalyptus tablets. Treat the symptoms, see the doctor, get lots of rest. Jason, hairdresser to the stars, lives in Greene County. Jason is having some health issues. Parker family. Yes, let's keep JJ in our prayers. Okay, pray for Shirley. If God has laid any of these on your heart, this is what you pray about all this week. Pray for our country and our country's leaders, our church, for those who are fighting addiction and their families. Unspoken request, raise your hand. And for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. God, blessed be your holy name. Thank you for all the blessings that we have. Forgive us when we take them for granted. And pour out your Spirit upon us and help us to use those blessings in order to be a blessing to others. And God, we lift up to you all of our concerns made known here today. All of these concerns that have been written down, spoken, the concerns that we've indicated with the uplifted hands. You know the details. And we believe that you're greater than any problem that anybody has. Anybody. And God, no matter what the world says, With you, all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If God be for us, who can be against us? We have favor with God and man. And the chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. You, my God, shall supply all our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus has come to give us life, to give us life more abundantly. It is written, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against your word. And so we lift up into the light and love of your presence all these requests today. And God, we thank you. We thank you for hearing our prayers and answering our prayers. And we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. This is the word of Almighty God. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the hour or the day." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. You know, how many times and how many different ways does Jesus have to warn us? You know, and he didn't just warn the people in his day. He didn't just pound this into the heads of his disciples, but he made sure that this word of God would be canonized and turned into the Bible, which is the most read book in the world. He made sure that everybody heard this warning. And he says, and this was out of chapter 25 about the 10 virgins. In chapter 24, Jesus tells us all about all the different signs to look for in the world that will predict the end of the age, the coming of the judgment of the Lord. He said, nobody knows the hour or the day, but you'll know the season. Well, the season he was talking about is all around us more now than it's ever been before. How much longer do we have? Who knows? 1,000 years? 2,000 years? A day? Who knows? Nobody knows the day or the hour, even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. It says in Matthew 24, in verses 40 and 41, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. It'll come without warning. It'll happen suddenly. And there'll come a day when you'll come to church and there'll be hardly anybody here. Hopefully you won't be here. But some of you may be here, and we'll be talking about it, how everybody's just disappeared. It'll come suddenly. Verse 42 says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But Jesus did say he was coming back. Now, in preparing for this sermon, I read a lot of resources, and I came across another sermon by Bob Deffenbaugh. And he used this illustration, which I really liked. And so I paraphrased it, and I want to share it with you. He's talking about getting ready, about the judgment day, about being warned, how God has warned us. You know, how many people here have ever run out of gas? If you've run out of gas, raise your hand. I'm talking about in the car, too, not personally. Well, I've run out of gas there, too. But yeah, I ran out. We ran out of gas. We were on our way back, I don't know, from Pittsburgh or someplace like that, and we got around Houston and on 79 and putt, 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 putt. We ran out of gas. Had to call AAA and wait for them to show up. And it's because our gas gauge wasn't working. And then when I was a teenager and when some of you was a kid, we had gas gauges that were very unreliable, you know. They could show full, you could be empty. They could show empty, you'd be full. Go over a bump or down a hill and the gas needle would bounce back and forth. Gas gauges today, man, they have little red areas to show you when you're getting down low, and then a light comes on, then a bell goes off, and the voice says, hey, dummy, get gas. I mean, we're without excuse. These new automobiles today, man, they tell you how many miles you got to go. Now you have left until you can hit empty. Amazing. All that warning. And still, you know what? The number one roadside call is for people running out of gas today. Over 500,000 people a year. Over 500,000 people. Now, of course, we know there are millions and millions of people driving, but over 500,000 a year, even with all of the warnings, still run out of gas. Well, the same can be said of Christians. Even with all the warnings that we get from the Word of God, from all of our evangelists and prophets and Spirit-filled people warning us, man, there are people still messing up. People that want to call themselves Christians. You know, these 10 virgins, they knew the rules. They knew that the bridegroom, it was the custom that he would spend about a week traveling through the village, staying with friends and family and celebrating, getting ready for the wedding day. And these 10 virgins were invited to the wedding feast. And it was going to be held behind closed doors. And they knew that when the bridal procession came by, the wedding party, that is, when the wedding party came by, they were to join them and go in to the wedding feast, to the banquet. And so they got ready. And they knew that the bridegroom could come at any time. He could come day or night. And so they brought their lamps just in case. Now, this is a farming community. Brian, what time do you go to bed at night? Mike, what time do you go to bed at night? Barb? 9:30, 10, thank you. We'll go with that. There's a lot of folks that go to bed early. I mean, I know folks go to bed 6, 7 o'clock in the evening. Joey, what time do you go to bed? But 8:30? Yeah, if Bonnie and I go to bed before by midnight, that's early for us. But this is a farming community. These people, these virgins, were used to going to bed when the sun went down. Man, it's getting on towards midnight. They're tired. They go to sleep. And then they hear the cry. Here comes the bridegroom. Now, how far away is he? They're not sure, but they know that he's coming. It's a big, long procession, this wedding banquet. You know, all these people are coming down the road. And so they get ready. They light their lamps. Only the girls, the five foolish virgins, didn't bring any oil to put into their lamps. All they had was their wick that had some oil in it. And they lit that, and it smoldered and quickly went out. The wise ones added oil to their lamps so that their lamps burned nice and bright. Now, you've got to understand this, too. Why did they have lamps to begin with? Because they don't have street lights. They don't have lights in the houses where you flick a switch. They didn't have neon signs everywhere. It was dark. And they're in among the buildings. It was a very dark place. And the only way to be able to be recognized, to be allowed to come into the wedding banquet, was if you had something to light up your face with. And so they had these lamps to show them where to walk, and so they could show people, it's me, let me in. And so the five wise virgins go into the banquet, while the other five ran off to buy oil, so they could prove that they were who they were. I don't know how many people here have ever been to a nightclub. This doesn't look like a nightclub crowd. I've seen enough of it on TV to know that, you know how you got the lines and you come up and you talk to the big bouncer and he wants identification. If you don't have it, you don't get in. Well, these girls were too late getting to the door. And they pounded on the door and they wanted in. And the Lord of the banquet came and said to them, "Don't know you. Because if you were who you're supposed to be, you would have been here on time. The door's been shut. Away from here. I don't know you." Pretty heavy stuff. The implication is that five of them were saved. It's about salvation. And the five who couldn't get in, they're lost. Five and five. It's a 50-50 ratio, one-to-one. One will be in the field, one will be taken. One will be using a handmill, and the other will be taken. We've got to be ready. The warning signs are all around us. In the day of Noah, Noah did what God told him to do. He held services, he worshiped God, he gathered the animals together. He built an ark, which took him who knows how long, months or years, to build that ark. Meanwhile, the rest of the world, man, they were just rejoicing and partying and just having fun and being very sinful. And one day, God comes down and tells Noah, "Okay, everybody on board." And God himself shuts the door to the ark and then brings the floods. It was over. There was no getting on that ark for anybody else because they weren't ready. Jesus said, look at the fig tree. He says, you'll know when it's time for figs and when it's not. He says, you may not know what day I'll come back exactly, but you'll know the season. We've been forewarned. Yeah, there was a fellow who was in a hurry, and he's zipping through the countryside, and he's coming down the road, and he's just speeding like a madman. And he comes around a bend, and all of a sudden he sees two men standing partway out in the road, and the two of them together are holding up a large sign, and on the sign it says, "The end is near." And he slams on his brakes, and he pulls over next to them, and he winds down his window, and he says, "You couple of religious kooks, you can get hit standing out in the road like that. What do you think you're doing? You're crazy. Get off the road." And he winds his window up, and he takes off down the road. And just a moment later, they hear this loud explosion and shattering glass. And the one guy looks at the other one, and he says, "Do you think we should change the sign so it says, 'Bridge is out'?" We've been warned. We get warned all the time when we read the Word of God, when we hear the message preached, we see it on TV, we see it in the news. We've been warned. The gas gauge is in the red. The light is flashing. Time is growing short. The only way we get through this, the only way we get into that banquet hall, is if we're ready. The only way to be ready is to ask Jesus Christ into our hearts as our Lord and Savior and to give him our lives. And that means hold nothing back. Man, if you're holding back anything, you're not ready. You can, you know, it says in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus speaking, he said, on that last day, he said, many people will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, and I'll tell them, away from me, I don't know you. And they'll say, but Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we perform miracles in your name? And Jesus said, and I'll tell them, away from me, I don't know you, you evildoers. There will be people who will walk like Christians, talk like Christians, act like Christians, who will perform like Christians, but they'll be doing it for the wrong reasons. Remember last week's sermon? Hypocrites. There's a lot of people who will look like a duck and walk like a duck, but really aren't ducks. And Jesus said, away from me. I don't know you. We've got to be ready. We've been warned. And the scriptures tell us in the epistles, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It was Paul that said that. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Don't assume that you've done all that you need to do. Keep trying. Keep working at it. Keep praying. Keep surrendering. That is part of picking up your cross daily. Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, you've got to pick up your cross daily and follow me. You've got to love me more than you love life itself. And I urge you to check your gas gauge to make sure you've got oil in your lamp. And the best way to do that is to get on your knees and ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart to help you let go of the things of life that have taken your attention away from God. Give control of your life as a living sacrifice to God. Every day, your schedules, your hope, your dreams, your relationships, your finances, your possessions. Give it all to God. I know. I don't know where that's going to lead you or what will happen. And it may get real uncomfortable. It's the only way you get into the banquet hall because it shows that you have Jesus in your heart. The proof is in the pudding. The gas gauge is bouncing off of empty. Time is growing short. Give it all to God. God loves you, and so do I. And now we're going to stand and sing Together We Serve, number 2175. Some refreshments in the parlor to thank our veterans and to welcome our new members, Jeff and Marcy. So please make sure you do that. Thank a vet. Say hi and welcome to Jeff and Marcy. Jeff and Marcy, by the way, will be getting married Friday here. Just a stand-up wedding, them and their kids. So we're looking forward to that Friday evening. Time is growing short, and you know what? Tomorrow is promised to no one. I'm sure all of you, most of you, if not all of you, know what happened last Sunday during church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, when a man who was distraught wanted to hurt his mother-in-law, only she wasn't in church that day, but he walked into the church and shot and killed over 25 people, wounded a bunch of others. 8 members of one family were killed. Infants Everybody. He just went on a rampage. Judgment Day came for them. Judgment Day comes for us. As long as there's life, there's hope. So we need to tell our friends and our neighbors and our families, are you ready? Ask them, are they ready? And then tell them what they need to do to get ready. So, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you fill us with holy boldness. Give us the words to speak to the people around us so that we can encourage them to check their gas tank, so that we can encourage them to fill up their lamps. Give us the words to speak, God, for time is growing short. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen. Amen.